Take your Bible today and open to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to begin reading today in verse 20 and a message that has been strongly laid upon my heart for this service today. Today, I want to talk for a few moments to all of us about caressing the challenging situations in our life. And generally, that involves certain folks and persons. How many of us have difficult people somewhere close to us in our lives? I have the opinion that we probably all have, at least, someone we work with, someone we live near. I never forget it. When we were out house hunting with our daughter, who's getting ready to close on a house in the burbs of Indianapolis, we were with a realtor. And the realtor happened to park on the curb, on the street, but her wheel was about six blades of grass onto some dude's lawn next door to the house we were going to look at. And that guy came out of the house and was screaming bloody murder. I really wanted to lay hands on someone suddenly. You know what I'm saying? I saw this mown eyes. I thought, what in the world?
I just mowed that lawn. And you parked.
I thought, oh my God. Really? No, none of you ever see anything like that. None of you ever experience anything like that. It only happens in Indy and eastern Indiana. Never happens over here on the west side of the state. But I really feel impressed today to talk to all of us about caressing the challenging persons and situations in our life. Let's share for a few moments. And I want you to hear what I'm going to say today. I'm not thinking of anyone or any one thing when I'm sharing these next few moments. I don't ever use the pulpit to browbeat people. I've never done it. In about 50 years of preaching, I'm not going to start now. What I try to do is listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and you know, if the moccasin fits, I truly trust it will be of help to all of us, because we all deal with this more often than we want to admit, and I want to give you some tools today. How many of you got a toolbox? We all need tools to get the job done. Certain tools work better than others in certain circumstances. I want to give you some tools I hope today will help you, as it has helped me through the years, and I'm still learning in situations we deal with as you do. Let's read and stand for the reading of God's Word if you're able to. 2 Timothy 2, verse 20 and following. Keep in mind that Paul is writing to his young protege who is pastoring an awesome church, but he's trying to train him even in his younger years of how to deal with uncomfortable circumstances and situations. And here's what he says that are words to us all. 2 Timothy 2:20 and following. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some of honor and some for dishonor. Verse 21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Verse 23, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. You ought to underline that. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing they generate strife. Verse 24, now watch this. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, verse 25, and in humility correcting those in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to his will. Lord, now we ask that you would help us today. May we hear the voice of your Spirit speaking at the core and at the depth of the inner person. Guide us today. Help this servant, Lord, to speak only what need be said. Anything I plan to say and should not, strike it now from my mind. Anything I didn't plan to say but need to, put it there. Give me the ability to communicate it. And I pray for breakthroughs today. In every situation and circumstance that we face, not by might or power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I do not know who originated the following quote, but it's pretty well said that we ought to thank God for the difficult persons in our lives Because if nothing else, they show us what we don't want to be. Like it or not, life is filled with interactions. And it's really nigh on to impossible to not rub shoulders with some level of personages in whatever situation we might name. I'm from the American West, graduated from high school in northeastern Washington State. All of my rootage and moorings are out west, and happen to have come to the Midwest after leaving Bible college training, but all of my family are still in the western part of the United States. And out where I'm from, there are these creatures called porcupines. Anybody ever see a porcupine? Well, they're really, in a way, fascinating. In the pine trees of the American West, these creatures primarily exist, but occasionally they will come on the ground. In a way, I've seen this in animals we've had. A porcupine might look really cool, but they're really, really prickly. They've got these things called quills, and they stick out every which direction. I'm not trying to be off-color in any way, but it's really interesting to see porcupines fall in love. Because they have these quills that when rubbed up against, they just kind of stick out. And so when the temperatures get really cold, these creatures try to find another of their own species to kind of cushy up to, but the closer they get, the more the quills come out. The more they rub up against each other, the more aggressive it becomes. Now, there's something about humanity that we want people close, but not too close. We like our space. Have you ever noticed there's a difference between cats and dogs? How many of you have cats? Lift your hand if you are cat people. Several of you need to be saved. There's some cat people in the house. Cats don't need a lot of TLC, really. You can have a cat in the house, put down litter and cat food and water, and you can be gone for like 7 years and they'll just take care of themselves. They don't need much attention. Now, a dog needs all sorts of TLC. Cats, you know, basically, I'll come find you if I need anything. We took care of our son's cat for a while that was half Himalayan and half Siamese, and that cat would jump up on our bed in the early part of the morning when he wanted to be caressed, and he would kind of paw and do his little thing. And he particularly liked me. I have no idea why, but he particularly liked me, probably because he saw my H-shaped head and reminded him of breakfast or something. I don't know. But anyway, he'd jump up on our bed, and he'd take his paw and kind of push it up against my face like this. And that meant kind of pet me and give me some attention. Well, if I didn't give it to him when he wanted to, he'd start headbutting me. He'd stick his head and start banging up underneath my chin. Well, we had a lab who just, as many of you know, recently passed away. We had for almost 15 years. And she needed TLC, much more so than the cat. And we had to keep a lot greater attention to her. Now, people are different. Some people are real cuddly, and some people are not. And there's something about humanity that we, by nature, need love. But in the process of kind of getting up next to each other, sometimes the quills come out. And sometimes it isn't a really comfortable feeling. And there are times when we don't even know what's happened. We can find ourselves in the midst of an argument, never know where it started. And all of us have challenging persons in our life that, for whatever reason, it is more difficult. Now, parents, I have two children, and many of you have child or more than one child. And the Bible says children are the blessing of the Lord. Blessed is the man, the woman, whose quiver is full of them. Well, I've said for years, thank God some of our quivers are smaller than others. But I've learned this, that kids are different. Some kids are more amenable, like the canines. There's some that are more independent. Some kids are very strong-willed. It seems like every little thing brings up a conflict, no matter what you name. It just happens. And it's like they'll fight tooth and toenail for every inch.
I'm not giving up one bit of my territory.
And there's some that are far more amenable than that. It happens in places where we work. There are people who are easy to work with, and there are people that are not easy to work with. There are some people that are cuddly, and some people are just knuckleheads. I don't understand. You can never tell by looking in and of itself necessarily what you're getting. If I had a dollar for every time I've heard this in doing marital counseling, which I've done hundreds of couples through the years, if I had a dollar for every time I heard this in marital counseling, I'd be driving a Lamborghini today. Saying, if I had only known, if I had just known. When I counsel with couples, I always tell them this. If you guys are planning on getting married, it isn't just two of you getting married. It's six of you. They look at me like, what? Well, there is the ideal person. When a person is getting married, they think they found Mr. Right, Mrs. Right. That's their ideal. And they've got these preconceived ideas of how that person is going to be. The problem is, young people often lie to themselves for how that works out. Because the gals always say, I can change him, and he never does. The guys say of their gals, she'll never change and she always does. So you got this ideal, what Mr. Right, what Mrs. Right looks like. Then you got the conceptualized person, how the person really sees themselves. And then you have the real person. You got the conceptualized person, how they see themselves. You have the real person, who they truly are. You have the ideal person. So six people are getting married. And the problem with baking the right kind of marriage cake is trying to get the two real people together. And to add to that, you don't just marry a person, you marry a family. And I tell couples that. You're not just marrying this dude or this gal. You're also marrying your in-laws. Because it all comes as a part of the package. You've got your family, you've got your extended family, you've got your siblings, you name it. And you got to be prepared that there can be changes. To complicate things even more than they already are, is couples who have been previously married, they might bring into it children from a previous relationship. And I always look couples in the eye and say, listen, if it's yours and his or hers, it'll never work until they become ours. You got to embrace the whole thing. Well, that sounds good on paper, but living it out can really, at times, get complicated. And let's be honest about it. Sometimes we find ourselves in the midst of a fight. Now, fights aren't always a bad thing. Because if everybody is always agreeable and you never disagree, then one of you is not necessary. I'm going to say it again. If you never have a disagreement and you always agree 100% of the time, one of you is unnecessary. There will be disagreements. That is, if you're alive and breathing. Now, I want to talk to you today about caressing the challenging circumstances of life. Because if the truth be known, we can learn an awful lot during times of conflict if we'll just humble ourselves enough to do so. Now, I want you to make some notes today on the line of what I'm sharing. I want to talk to you about these fights. Anybody that's been married a while has had some conflict. You do. In fact, I don't trust people that will tell me they've never had a conflict. I don't believe it. To me, there's going to be, in the midst of living life, some battle scars. There's going to be some wounds. There's going to be some hard places. I would be lying to you. I'd be absolutely lying to you if I were to tell you that Nancy and I have never, ever, ever had a disagreement. We've been married for 38 plus years. And we haven't always seen eye to eye. Well, we have this understanding. I rule the roost and she rules the rooster. It works really good. We've come to realize some things in our relationship, and we have learned them as we've related and ministered to others. Can I talk to you today about fights? And take notes today. This will help you. First of all, let me tell you this. Pick your fights. Pick your fights. There are going to be disagreements, but be careful which fights you pick. I want you to hear what I'm going to say. This did not originate with me. You may or may not know the name of C.M. Ward, who used to be the great revival evangelist of the Assemblies of God. And some years ago, I had the honor of having C.M. Ward in my car for a whole weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, with me personally. Actually, I had to go to Nashville, Tennessee, to pick him up and drive him back to Kentucky, where we were serving as associate pastors at the time. At that time, C.M. Ward was in his late 70s. And you have to... C.M. Ward, how he used to talk. He said something to me I've never, ever heard anyone else say. And I kept it with me, and it's really good counsel. So I picked him up at the Nashville airport. We were driving north on Interstate 65. And he leaned over to me. At that time, Nancy had only been married maybe 8 or 10 years, somewhere in that neighborhood. I'll never forget, he grabbed me by the arm. He said, "You ever had a fight?" I said, "Well, you know, we don't fight a lot, but yeah, we've had some moments and some disagreements." He said, "How about in the church? Did you ever have any fights in the church?" Well, I was in a young associate pastor, still wet behind the ears and green inside the gills. I was still learning a lot of things, but I'd seen a few things, experienced some things. He said something to me I've never heard anyone else say, but I've kept it with me, and I'm going to share it with you today. He said, "Let me tell you something, young man." He said, "A bulldog can whip a skunk any day, but why would he want to? No matter what he does, he'll come out of it stinking." We had a whole gathering of skunks in the area close to our subdivision. And when I used to walk our lab, she'd pick up on that scent. And I'd say, "Oh, no, Melanie, no, no, no. You don't want to do that." And I'd have to literally hold on with all of my might to keep our lab from chasing a skunk scent. And one day she saw one. And it caught me by surprise. I wasn't even paying any. All of a sudden, the leash went straight. And she was, I said, "Oh, whatever you do, do not do that. A bulldog can whip a skunk any day, but why would he want to? He's going to come out of it stinking anyway if you slice it." Listen to this. There are some fights not worth having and some wars not worth winning. There are some people I know that want to fight about every nitpicking thing. But if you do too much of that, there comes a point where there's no equity in the relationship. There are some things you can grin and bear. It is not the end of the world. I've heard people tell me before, marriage counseling, "But you got to speak the truth." Let me tell you something. There are times when you don't have to prove how right you are. Maybe you are right. Maybe you're right on so many different levels. But there are times when, for the sake of a healthy relationship, there are some things that don't need to be said. Guys, raise your hand if you're listening to me today. Gentlemen, be very careful when your wife comes out in an outfit and says, "How do I look?" The answer is beautiful. I know people, "I can't tell a lie." But for the sake of a healthy relationship, there are times that things don't need to be said. Now, there are times you do have to confront some stuff. There are non-negotiable issues in any relationship, and you've got to decide in your situation what those are. There are times you've got to confront some stuff. You've got to deal with it. You've got to deal with it head on. But you can't act that way all the time. Or else you become so dilatory in your situation that you become impossible to live with. There's going to be stuff that just aren't the end of the world. It's okay to grin and bear a little bit of that. "Well, I was raised such and such and so and so." Guys, can I counsel you? Be careful how much of your mother you talk about. "But my mom..." Thank God for our moms. But you're not married to your mom. You're not married to your mom. You're married to somebody else. And the moment you get married, that becomes the most important relationship to you other than your relationship with God. And listen to me. Everyone hear this. The most important thing in the family aren't the kids. I love the kids. We have our own kids and grandkids. The most important part of the family is the marriage. Then the children's lives flow out of the goodness of the marital covenant. If it's only about the kids, what happens when the kids are gone? We all see that. All of a sudden, the last kid graduates from high school, and all of a sudden the family breaks up, and like everybody's like, what happened? Well, obviously, in that situation, it must have been just about the kids. You know, we've never had a problem with empty nests in our family because Nance and I are still in the nest. It's actually pretty good. It's awesome. But if we're not careful, we can become so gung-ho about getting our way and being right and speaking the truth that eventually the person on the other side of the equation says, I can't do anything right. And that's not what makes for a good family. Families are about the fine art of 24/7 forgiveness. It's about learning how to bear with each other's faults. Nobody's perfect. We all have our peccadilloes. We all have our quirks. Even some of you looking at me so sanctimonious today, you have them too. Hello. And the person you're living with has got to learn how to deal with your stuff, just like you deal with their stuff. Be careful when you fight. Pick carefully those things to fight about. Now that brings me to a second point. When you fight, fight fair, number two. Pick your fights, but number two, when you fight, fight fair. Now here's some counsel for all of us. I don't care if you're the oldest or you just got married this weekend. Learn how to fight fair. Now first of all, avoid war words. Avoid war words. You know what war words are? Well, you, or you always, and that's never true. But when people get all lathered up, in order to win the arguments, they start using war words or they start calling names. And I'm going to tell you this, that when people get on the defensive, you generally don't accomplish anything. If people start really arguing, the walls go up, as do the defenses, and you generally don't accomplish much at all. There are times when you've got to get into a discussion about something, but fight fair, i.e. stick to the point. Don't get off on name-calling, and don't get off on some of these additional subject matters, you know, you said this and you said that. It's so much better to say, what can we do? Jen, our daughter, was telling us she was recently in France on a trip. And there was a couple that were having some problem with the tour. They had some small children. And she said, you know, the gal that was a part of the relationship, she was just complaining. She was complaining. Our daughter can speak French. And she was just complaining. Oh, just relentlessly. And they got off for a tour, and they got back on the tour bus, and the husband of the family said to his wife, and said, now that we're back, no more complaints, only solutions. Learn how to fight fair. Don't just complain relentlessly. Seek solutions. Stick to the point. Don't name call. Oh my God, don't throw things. Control yourself. You have the ability to do that. Now, I know when people get angry, they get temporarily insane. I understand that. I do. I really do. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. In other words, we have an ability, a God-given ability to, listen to this, we have a God-given ability of self-control a God-given ability to call our own decision. God gave us a voluntary free will. That means, somehow by the grace of God, we can control what we do. And we have to make a decision that when there's conflict, to fight fair and to control ourselves. It's not always easy, because don't we all agree to this point? There's an enemy. You get in a conflict, it sits right here on your shoulder. Am I the only one that's ever heard this?
Are you going to let her tell you that? Are you going to let her get away with that?
Recognize in a conflict the voice of the enemy who wants to steal, kill, and to destroy your life and your relationship and your family. And when you sense that building and growing, you got to say to yourself, I got to handle this properly. I got to handle this fairly. Fight fair. Avoid war words. Don't push the hot buttons. The problem is when somebody's losing the argument, they start pounding on the hot button like a woodpecker on steroids. See, let me tell you something. You don't have to win. People think I got to win. No, you don't. It's more important that you keep your family intact. And you're focused properly on your marriage. And when you start sensing that, now listen, this is counsel I give myself. And I do it not just in family and in marriage, but in dealing with people. Sometimes people say things to me, I can't believe they say it. They'll say things about my mama. They'll say things about my heritage. They'll say, say some of the most cruel things. I have to avoid that. I got to look past that. Or I get sidetracked. A coon dog that won't focus on the rabbit scent is not worth hunting with. And what the enemy often does is he gets us sidetracked. And we get such in a tiff, we forget what we're even arguing about. It really is true. If we stick to the point, if we concentrate on what the real conflict is about, boil it down to what is this about? What is this about? What is this really about? Couples do this all the time. There's distance being felt. There's irritation. And one person says to the other, are you upset? No. No, I'm just fine. All passive-aggressive. You all understand what passive-aggressive is? It's when you send messages that you're not happy, but you won't say you're unhappy. But you're letting them know you're unhappy. She is angry at him. And she's not going to say she's mad at him. She just burns his toast. He likes his toast a certain way with jam and peanut butter on a good cup of coffee. And they've had a little bit of a disagreement. And then all of a sudden the morning he wakes up and his coffee is cold. His toast is burnt. And she won't have breakfast with him. No. Everything fine? No. It's just fine. It's okay. He knows it's not okay. Right? Now listen, I've learned this. People accuse women of being sulkers. They really aren't. It's generally the guys that sulk and pout. Women just explode. They just let it go. And we send these little messages to each other, don't we? When we're not happy about something, we're not comfortable with something. Sometimes you have to dare to take a risk for the sake of integrity in the relationship. To say, let's talk. When you get to that point, focus on the issue. Don't call names. Don't push hot buttons. Don't feel like it's a zero-sum game where you got to win. I was listening to Jim Daly with Focus on the Family. This has been probably 10 years ago or thereabouts. Focus on the Family, you know, was launched by Jim Dobson. Just phenomenal. It's on radio. It's incredible. Listen to it. It's still available somewhere in the Indianapolis market. Preset your dial to listen to that in the morning on the way to work. It will so help you. But he was talking about couples that were having irritations. One group of couples that busted up because they said, we can't handle it anymore. The other group of couples that decided to find a way to make it work, to try to find a way to be amenable, to stick to the point, not call names, don't throw stuff, that kind of thing. They found those couples that 10 years later were far happier. Far more prosperous, far more content when they somehow found a way to stick it out. And I will say this is what I said Wednesday night very quickly. If you're having challenges, make a decision to fight another round, to stay at it another day. Keep working. Because you have a God that you serve. It's a God of miracles. If he can bring healing power to somebody in a hospital ward, don't you think he can bring healing power to a marriage? Don't you think the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead can raise up a marital relationship and restore what the enemy has tried to destroy? But it's going to take a determination, one, to pick your fights, two, to learn how to fight fair, and number three, in closing, after the fight is over, build bridges. Build bridges instead of simply burning them. In life, I'm very careful to burn bridges because I always say to myself, someday I may need to use that. I know people that are really good at burning bridges. But if you burn too many bridges, you'll be on an island with no access off of it. We all need each other. We particularly need our families. We particularly need those people nearest and dearest to us. And I'm not saying it's perfect. It never is. Anybody that acts like it isn't telling you the truth. There's always challenges. There's always disagreements. There's always irritation. There's things that come up to take you by surprise. Maybe things you didn't know. Maybe things you didn't sign up for. Maybe there were these certain expectations that haven't fully been met. Think of it this way. Here's the ideal up here. Here is the real down here, and the distance between the ideal and the real is called adjustment. And in every relationship, there has to be certain adjustment. Because you're never going to have the ideal. It's never going to be perfect. Now, that doesn't mean you don't strive to be the best you can be. In fact, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, as much as lies in you, live at peace. Now, I can't control what the other person does. But I can control what I do. I can control what I say. I can control how I behave. I can control my actions, my verbiage. I can control the things I let out of my mouth. Nobody's holding a gun to my head, right? I have to take responsibility for what I do and what I say. You ever read that passage where the Bible says, if two or three of you shall agree as touching anything, you'll have whatever you ask? That's in Matthew 18, right? If two or three of you shall agree as touching anything, you'll have what they ask. It took me a while to see what I should have seen in that a long time ago. Why does Jesus say two or three? Because the most fundamental of all relationships in the world is marriage. Right? So at the most foundational level, listen, marriage was the first institution ever created. Before the government, before the church, there was the family. The family is the foundation of all the rest. The reason America is in trouble today is not our politicians. It's because our homes are not where they need to be. And our relationships and our marriages are not where they need to be. If we can get it down to that level, out of that will flow all of the other blessings. If two or three of you, he's talking at the most foundational level, that if a husband and wife can agree as touching any matter, they'll have whatever they ask. And there's this passage in Ecclesiastes that says that two are better than one, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. As I finish today, bear with me if you've heard me say this before, but when our daughter was a little girl, you know, she always had this fascination with pigtails and braided hair. Well, my wife has been trained as a beautician. She knew how to do that, but there were times when mom wasn't available, and Jen would say, Dad, could you braid my hair? My braids never worked. I really tried. Mine never worked. I take one strand of hair and another strand of hair, and I'd start weaving, and it always fell out. It always fell out. And I couldn't understand why mine didn't work. And one day I said to my wife, I said, how come I can't braid Jen's hair? She said, what are you doing? I said, I'm taking one strand and strand. She said, oh, you're forgetting something. There's a hidden third strand. Am I telling the truth? There's a hidden third strand. you wrap the two around the hidden third, and it holds. And all of a sudden, it hit me right between the eyes. In marriage, in family, the hidden third strand is the presence of God. The reason Nancy and I are where we are today after 38 and a half years is because God has been at the core of our relationship from the very beginning. We promised each other at the altar we would never use the word divorce, and we never have. We have wrapped our lives around God. We've wrapped our eyes around the church and around the ministry and everything good and great about what God has provided, and it works. And the reason the Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath, is because God is encouraging us. When all the fur is done flying and the dust is all settled and the fight is over, build a bridge. Guys, it's okay when you've had a great big disagreement to text your wife, call your wife, look your wife in the eye and say, you know I'm a donkey. I know I am. I bray and carry on and I say some of the dumbest and stupidest things. Can you ever forgive me? I have had guys tell me, I'm not doing that. That makes me less than a man. And I've often said to them, this isn't about you proving you're Paul Bunyan. This is about you proving you're a man of such character and integrity that you can love your wife as Christ loved the church. Gals, this isn't about proving some level of feminism which is ravaging our culture today. Chauvinism and feminism are sins on two opposite extremes. Men aren't better than women and women aren't better than men. We are equal in the eyes of God. It's difficult to pray with someone you're mad at. It really is. When the dust is settled, the fur has stopped flying, build a bridge. Say, can we go somewhere together? Can we take a ride? Can we go get something to eat? Can we go to the store? Can we get just out of this situation for a little bit? Can we turn on our favorite program? What are you doing? You're saying, I want to build a bridge. I don't want to burn this. I don't want to ruin this situation forever. And I know sometimes it is like someone has hit you right in the gut. And when that happens and you get the wind knocked out of you, they always tell you to do two things, either which is possible. Breathe and relax. You've got the wind knocked out of you. You feel like you're suffocating. You feel like you're all uptight. Somehow take a deep breath. Maybe a little space is needed. That's okay. But make it your double doggone decision that you're going to start building bridges to those that are most important in your life. I want my whole family to go to heaven. I want my wife and my kids and my grandkids and my extended family members. I turned 60 earlier in the month here, and I have been personally responsible leading almost my whole family to Christ. I've got people I'm helping now and witnessing to now that are in our extended family, and they're getting closer and closer. Because I don't want to go to heaven alone. What would it profit me if I won the whole world and my own family went to hell? I have to be Christ to my loved ones too. It's a wonderful thing to know you don't have to go it all by yourself. I know there are those fiercely independent people. I don't need anybody. Oh, yeah, you do. You'll find out not that far down the road. And the older I get, the more I appreciate my family. And those people God has brought into my life. They have bore up with me for all these years. And you know, we can learn how to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Let's pray today. Bow your heads and close your eyes this morning all over this house. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning by the power of the Holy Spirit for every person that will stream this message, linked to through Facebook and the other means of opportunity that is provided. Pray for those in this house of God today. Heavenly Father, you know where we are and you know what we're dealing with. God, you know what we're up against. Because of our own humanity, sometimes it is so hard to get this right. But God, somehow we have to. Not just for us, but our posterity. Our children, our grandchildren, our extended family, our siblings. The people we work with, the people we live near. If the gospel doesn't work for us, how will we ever be able to share it with anybody else? And it doesn't mean that any marriage and any family is perfect. We're not. We're far from that. But Father, you can help us by the power of your Spirit to know when and when not to get into these disagreements. To know how to fight fairly and to stick to the point. To not jump up and down on hot buttons. To not call names. To not get ourselves completely out of control. You've given us the power to contain ourselves. You, Lord, will help us to remend broken bridges, torn down fences. God forbid, but even ruined lives. Father, I thank you for every family in this church. I thank you for every couple in this church. I thank you for those that are not married that want to be. Those that have formerly been married, perhaps they have a spouse that has departed this life. Lord, I thank you for the wisdom they can share with us, the older teaching the younger. I pray, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name today, for supernatural miracles to happen in families. This gospel will work. For people who need a healing touch in their body, surely it will work in our families. And surely the God that loves us so much that he gave his life for our transgressions would love us enough to help us when things are awry within our own houses. We thank you for your mercies that are new every day. We thank you for a grace that's sufficient regardless of the circumstances. And I pray for every man, woman, and child. I may not know anything about what they walked in here with today. But God, you do. And if two or three shall agree, they'll have whatever they need, whatever they ask. May it be. And for those of us that are serving and helping and assisting, maybe stop gaps in some regard, I pray that you'll give us the strength that we need, the words to say, most of all the conviction in our prayers, to believe in faith, for signs, wonders, and miracles to occur in the most foundational of all relationships. Help us with the difficult people that surround our lives. Help us to live at peace at the best way we know how. Help us to know when to hang up the phone. Help us to know when to stop texting. Help us to know when to stay quiet. Help us to know when we need to speak and what to say. Guide our very actions in a supernatural way, we ask. In Jesus' mighty name today. And all of God's people said a great big hallelujah in this house. God bless you today.